Testament lesson today is from Malachi 3, verses 1 through 4. Friends, hear the word of the Lord for you today. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? He is like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and former years. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us are familiar with John the Baptist. We just heard about him in Luke 3, 1-6, and his role as God's messenger sent to prepare the way for Jesus. But not all of us think about another prophet who was a messenger. In the 5th century BC, the prophet Malachi was God's messenger sent to prepare the way of the Lord to those who had returned from exile but had fallen into sin and temptation. The people of Malachi's day were like us, seeking a God to make all things right in the world, a God to get rid of evil and bless the righteous. Malachi was surrounded, though, by corruption. So God sent this word about a refining fire and fuller's soap. Today, as we hear the words of Malachi, we are reminded of John the Baptist and our Savior Jesus, which is why we hear these words of preparation during Advent as we get closer and closer to Christmas. John the Baptist was the one preparing the way for Jesus. He was a prophet that had words of warning for people of his day. In fact, he urged repentance and told them, "Prepare to be changed by fire." Malachi reminds us that the preparation of Advent is not just about what we do in our lives to get ready for Christmas. It's about what God does in our hearts to prepare us for the Savior. Malachi's talk about refining fire and fuller soap is a tough and surprising message for Christmas, but it's really an important one. It's really God's gift of grace to all of us, because that's the kind of preparation that we really need to see Jesus now and in the end. What are your favorite Christmas movies? What are the Christmas movies you have to watch at this time of year, or it's just not Christmas? My all-time favorite, White Christmas. Love it. But I also love It's a Wonderful Life. I love Elf. I love The Family Stone, and I even love, because it's so familiar, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, with Clark Griswold plugging in the outdoor lights. But what about you? What are your favorite Christmas movies? Those ones that you have to watch, or it just doesn't feel like Christmas. Go ahead, tell me. Tell me some of your favorite Christmas movies. Anybody?
Home Alone.
Home Alone. Oh, I forget about that one. That was at Christmas, wasn't it?
Rudolph and Frosty.
Gotta have them, right? Or it's not Christmas.
Miracle on 34th Street.
That's an awesome one. There's so many Christmas movies, and have you ever thought about what they all might have in common besides about Christmas? Well, have you ever noticed that there's usually a dysfunctional family in every single Christmas film? I mean, if you think about it, all the famous Christmas movies have some kind of trouble in their families or their close relationships, which is probably why we love these movies, because we all live in dysfunctional families. Most of us have wacky relatives too, like Cousin Eddie or Clark Griswold. Most of us have complicated families, and 100% of us have families that are not perfect, right? So maybe we're drawn to these movies because they're like us. Which brings us to the prophet Malachi. We need his message. As much as we need our Christmas movies, we need this message of a refining fire and a fuller's soap because we are a mess. We're broken, we're sinful, our lives are messed up. We need the white hot fire that melts silver and draws out all the impurities. We need the soap that is so strong it can literally bleach out any cloth. We need God to be the refiner, the one who melts and molds our lives until his image is reflected in the surface of our hearts. That's when they know it's ready. When they can see their own image in that shimmering surface, that's what God is trying to do for us. In our hearts and in our homes at Christmas, God is trying to melt and mold us until we reflect the image of God. God's trying to make us the people we were created to be. Scottish pastor George MacDonald once said, "Because we are children of God, we must become children of God." We believe that God loves us unconditionally, that Greek word agape. But that Greek word agape, that kind of love, is also like the love of a parent for a child. It doesn't always feel good to the child. It includes boundaries and hopes and plans and a kind of molding so that the child can grow up to become an adult. When we say that God loves us unconditionally, that means that God wants what is very, very best for us, which is a lot more than warm, fuzzy feelings. Because God loves us and God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good, God is holy, God wants us to be holy too. We don't often talk about the judgment of God because we don't believe that God is just this wrathful, judgmental God. But we do believe that God is holy. And because God is holy, God is against sin. God is against sin. God judges our actions, including all of our actions. But God loves us despite the sin. God is against sin because God is for us. God wants us to be holy like Jesus, and that's where we get the refiner's fire and the fuller soap. C.S. Lewis once said, "To ask that God's love be content with us as we are is to ask God to cease to be God." Because God already loves us, he must labor to make us lovable. We cannot even wish in our better moments that God could reconcile himself to our present impurities. Lewis goes on to say that God doesn't just want our happiness. God wants us to be who we were created to be so that then we will find joy and happiness. The truth is what we all know, our brokenness, our dysfunction, those things we love about the Christmas movies and the things we don't love about our own families, all of that sin and brokenness, it hurts us. And it hurts God. And it hurts the family of faith. So what do we need? We need love. We need God's love. We need to be refined and cleansed by that love, and we need a Savior who can make us more and more like God. That's what the fire is all about. God doesn't just hope that we'll turn out okay without any discipline or consequences. God gives us free will. Free will to act like complete and utter fools, which we do on a daily, hourly basis. And when we do, God knows that we've messed up. God's not happy about it. So out of love, God sends that refining fire, that cleansing soap, And because of Jesus, we are actually forgiven completely of all our sin, everything that we've done, and we are made new. Now, fire and soap is kind of a bizarre but powerful Christmas message. If we think about it, it's the reason Jesus came to earth as a baby, to save us from sin. It's why Jesus died and was resurrected, to save us and change us, to make us the people we were created to be. When God looks at us, that's who God sees. The people we were created to be. Jesus does not come to make us feel guilty. Jesus comes with love and grace to help us change, to help us become the children of God that we are. Think about the people who love you the most. Don't they want you to be a better person, the person you were meant to be? The love of God is even more like that. George MacDonald once said that God is a consuming fire and God's love loves unto purity. That's why God allows us to go through the fires of life to be melted and refined until the surface of our heart shimmers and the image of God is reflected in us. God actually takes everything in our lives and allows it to go through that refining fire. Sometimes we don't think we need the refining fire. Every time I read Malachi, I'm always reminded of Flannery O'Connor's short story called Revelation. It's a great story. She writes about a proud and arrogant white woman in the Old South named Ruby Turpin, who sits in her doctor's office, chatting and smiling, friendly and talkative to everybody in the waiting room on the outside. And all the while, you're reading about her horrific thoughts in her mind, how she is harshly judging every single person in that room. This one is white trash. That black boy is stupid. That old man is dirty. That ugly woman is strange. And she's especially disturbed by this young woman with terrible acne who's reading a book on a sofa, ignoring everyone around her. So Mrs. Turpin sits there and quietly congratulates Jesus for making her the way she is. He had made her herself and given her a little bit of everything. She thanks God that she is not black or poor or ugly or rude or acne. And suddenly the girl on the sofa, whose name is actually Grace, takes her book and throws it across the room at Mrs. Turpin and calls her a warthog. Well, after this whole debacle, Mrs. Turpin goes home hurt. But all the while, she's thinking about her rightful place in the world and in heaven. And that's when the sky suddenly turns red. And she has a revelation, a vision of people marching up to heaven. And it's not the way she expects. The people in the front of the line are black and white trash and ugly and strange and full of acne. And the people at the end she recognizes as her kind of people. But she sees them marching with dignity, accountable for the good order and the common sense. She thinks that they are the only ones singing on key. And then she sees their shocked and altered faces, that even their virtues are all being burned away. The refining fire on the way to heaven. A refining fire is not a Christmas card that you send to friends about your life. We sing and we cook and we decorate and we gather and we want to experience the joy of Christmas, and God wants that for us too. We need that joy of welcoming Jesus. But as we prepare for that, we have to realize that the true joy comes from walking through the fires and the waters of life with God. And that is the kind of joy that lasts way beyond December 25th. We are all walking through some kind of fire right now, aren't we? The question is, will we allow God to use that for our good? Will we allow God to refine us? That is not to say that God causes the evil and the suffering, but rather that God is with us. With us, no matter what we walk through. And God can bring good out of anything we experience if we allow that refining, that purifying. It's like the prophet Isaiah talked about in chapter 43. Now thus says the Lord, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flame will not completely consume you, for I am the Lord your God. You are precious and honored, and I love you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Those last words, do not fear, for I am with you, are thankfully found hundreds of times throughout our Bible with good reason. We don't need to fear. We don't need to fear God or our circumstances or the future, because God is with us. Because God is refining us. Because thankfully God isn't finished with us yet. And that is the good news of the gospel from Malachi. That's the kind of good news we need as we move toward Christmas and allow God to prepare our hearts and homes. And to that, all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Please stand and let us affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed on page 35 of your hymnal.